Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm here all week.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah. Hey,
what?
Don, you gotta stop singing. You sound like Elvis is calling before he died.
Oh, come on. I know I suck, but I'm having fun.
It's fun. You. That's what karaoke's all about. We're all having fun.
All right. It's all a part of the observance.
But as far as...
No, that ain't fun. That's hurting us. Go back to reading. Go back to playing his CDs.
Go back to your cave.
Well, you...
Hey, do me a favor.
What?
Why don't you go and die?
Oh, no.
Just go and die. Go and get you.
I got one more I want to try.
Shoot, fly. There you go.
One more I want to try.
What will we be treated to?
I think I could handle this one.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some pigs, E-I-E-I-O.
Already F it up? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm looking like you, like looking at everybody.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
With a cluck cluck
here. With a cluck cluck here. Hello there.
And when those chicks
got old MacDonald's had a farm.
Well, MacDonald
had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some cows, E-I-E-I-O. With a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there. Here a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo-moo. Old MacDonald had a farm.
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
Moo-moo there.
Never mind.
Oh man.
Here we go. More rave reviews from our very loyal fans.
Yeah. All right, very good.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how are you? This is Norm in Spokane.
Yeah, Norm.
Can I sing?
Would you like to do karaoke, Norm?
I suppose, yeah.
What would you like to do?
Do I have to pick from a list?
Yeah.
What were the songs? Like Lummy Tender?
Yeah, you want to do that one?
Well, yeah, but I don't want to start laughing. Do you want it serious?
Yeah, I mean, do it as serious as you can, Norm, and tell us
ready?
If you can hear the song down the line.
All right, ready?
Cool. All right.
All right, and...
Lummy Tender...
Stumbled onto something here.
You have saved my life.
I
love you so.
I'm down with the listener karaoke.
Yeah. Love me tender. Love me true.
From Spokane, Washington, ladies and gentlemen.
All my dreams. Well, I can't keep up with the music. This is tough over the phone.
Or my darling,
give me a cheeseburger.
Oh, my darling. Oh, my Peter.
And I love you so.
That's Norm, ladies and gentlemen.
Norm.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Good job.
You're welcome,
man.
Norm.
Later.
Bye-bye.
You know, it was an experiment, wasn't it? You didn't know whether it would be, even though he really couldn't sing that well, it was funny.
It was good. It was good.
I like to listen to karaoke.
I have a lot of karaoke discs.
You do?
Back burner that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you guys have to stop this. I'm all over the road. People are giving me the finger. This is the funniest freaking thing ever. And the only thing that could make this any funnier would be yesterday's Bloody Marys.
You're right. She's right.
Oh, that would make it a lot
more
fun.
You're right about that.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's going on, guys?
Hey, my friend. Oh.
Is that our guy?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Called in the first. Dynamite. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, baby. I'd like to sing, please.
All right, one more person can sing. What do you want?
Blue suede shoes.
Blue suede shoes.
Do we have it?
Got it.
All right, we got it. Good.
All right, are you ready?
Ready.
Hold on, let me turn the reverb on.
Ready.
Give me a check on the reverb.
Check, check. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There you go. All right, and here you go. Oh, that's not
the one.
Hey, you did the wrong one, man.
He knows.
Blue suede shoes.
How you doing, listener?
Not too bad. Okay.
Hello?
Ready now, go, can't go. Don't step on my blue shoes. Anything but me on my blue sweet shoes. Go
there! Oh,
no,
no,
you suck.
Well, he's dead.
All right, listen, we will continue Elvis Death Day in a second.
Very good. It's a nice new twist on Elvis Death Day.
When we come back, we'll get back to the mainstream. Two great segments coming up before we wind up with the Elvis.
Sacramento style.
Yeah. And Rob doing the Sacramento dance in the studio.
Elvis music.
When we come back, Elvis's retarded sexual habits.
There you go.
And Elvis loves hot dog rolls.
Yeah.
That is next.
Good gracious. That's stupid. You called that music?
Well,
I don't have to listen to this stuff.
Right, right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
The home of Mr. Joe Artinger. The Don and Mike Show.
Here's some more E. Where's he at here?
I'm gonna hurt. My brain is getting weaker in a minute.
JCWB 3257, take 14.
A stranger.
Come on, E.
Fellas, now don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
By 1977, the sex symbol was overweight, his body failing him. Increasingly isolated and paranoid, Elvis retreated behind the walls of Graceland. He began pushing away even those who were closest to him. And the few who remained in his inner circle say they were powerless to help him.
We even got down one night and filled his pills with sugar.
Sugar.
To make sure that we got that he wouldn't get them.
His body was just no longer going with him. I mean, he had problems. He had a twisted colon. He had a liver disease.
And according to his former pals, Elvis wasn't even bathing regularly, relying on pills that people often take for medical reasons to reduce body odor.
And he would take those. He thought those weren't perfect, you know. Rather take a bath. He could take two of those, you know, and sponge off real quick.
It's a great privilege to do this satellite program, and I'm going to do my best, and all the people that work with me do a good show, which is pure, you know, entertainment. Little messages and little this and that. Just got to make people happy for that 1 hour that he comes across.
Holy fellas, I don't move. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
All right, back to the Elvis Death Show.
All right.
Yeah. A couple of great stories. The hot dog story. Hot dog and hamburger roll.
That is your personal favorite.
I love it.
Good reason.
The hot dog and hamburger bun kick was a strange one. Elvis would tie that wrapper around the horn of the goddamn saddle and ride along on his horse eating those things.
Hot dog bun.
A lot of times, Elvis would take two or three sleeping pills, and he couldn't sleep them off. Because you can't sleep when you've taken 500 milligrams of something else before. Hell, he'd get up after just 2 hours and go on about his normal day. Let me tell you, Lee Marvin and Cat Ballou didn't have anything on Elvis. Because he'd get up on the horse just about the time the sleeping pills took effect. And the faster he rode, the more he leaned. Elvis would walk around the ranch blown out of his skull with his cowboy hat on, gloves, cowboy boots, jeans, and his big padded coat that made him look even fatter. He'd be so stuffed in that jacket, his walk was almost like a waddle. And in his hand, he'd have this plastic see-through bag of hot dog buns. He looked like a little kid walking around with a sack in his hand. He'd talk to you, and he'd be slurring his words, and he'd take a bite of the bun, sort of ripping it off. And you couldn't understand what he was saying for sure. It was just this muffled noise. Somebody talking through bread.
Hey, man, you know, man.
I love that. I love the mental picture.
Yeah.
Elvis on a horse.
Right.
With a plastic bag full of hot dog buns.
Don't forget the cowboy hat.
It makes me think of, like, you know, when an old West cowboy would, like, take a bite off of a plug of tobacco.
Right, right.
But it's Elvis, so it's carbs.
Hey, Jack.
I eat it all.
Holy fella.
And don't move. Let's get real, real going.
Yeah.
Change.
Here's one you haven't heard for a long time, and I know you're going to love it when you hear it, about the sexually retarded Elvis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of how he formulated his sexual beliefs.
Elvis was curiously inept in certain basic social ways. He was so retarded, remarked one of his girlfriends. He came up to the house regularly, dressed in a nice little tweed skirt, little white blouse, black bolero jacket, stockings and heels. He didn't just go up to Elvis's house in your blue jeans and t-shirt. All the girls dressed the same. The guys were more aggressive. They scored because the girl always had the idea that eventually she would get to Elvis if she slept with one of them.
Duh!
Elvis himself had nothing to say. If Scatter the monkey hadn't been there, we probably would have sat all night looking at each other. Elvis's chimp became the focus of attention. All the conversation was centered on the activities of the chimp.
Yes, he owned a chimp.
It was like a buffer. One time, Elvis took a friend down to the room and made out on a couch upstairs. Heavy teen petting. And he got totally aroused. And all of a sudden, how do I say this? He had a happy ending.
There you go.
All over his pants.
Wow.
He got embarrassed and he said, oh, look at all the babies we killed.
Oh my God.
It's been a long time since we heard that one.
Yeah. Elvis.
Look at all the babies we killed. I'll never forget that statement. He got involved with another girl on a casual basis, and she put out quickly and went to bed with him. He'd never see her again, because that meant she was a bad girl. I don't know any of my friends who had sex with him. A lot of them made out with him, but they didn't go to bed with him. And I, for one, was the ultimate good girl. I mean, I came from a Catholic family on the East Coast, was one of the few virgins in town. I spent the night with him all the time, but remained totally unsullied. Because he respected me. Few of the girls knew about the two-way mirror that Elvis had installed in the swimming pool cabana that served as the ladies' dressing room.
Yeah, but don't put out on that first night because he won't respect you.
Sonny had a... Oh, look at all the babies we've killed. That's great, Elvis. Sonny had originally gotten a smaller version of the two-way room for his house, or they'd use it in the den for shows, but on the guys and their unsuspecting dates. The only way to gain access to the new peep room was by crawling under the house, but Elvis and the guys took that as part of the game. On Sunday afternoons, all the girls came over to watch them play football at the little park on Beverly Glen, just off Sunset Boulevard. They'd play a dozen games in a row, two or three touchdowns, had the winner, and Elvis' team always won. They played against teams of other young actors and singers like Pat Boone, Jan and Dean, Ricky Nelson. While Elvis' team included Red and Sonny, the rest of the guys,
bet they played dirty.
Plus ringers like Max Baer Jr., the giant star of the Beverly Hillbillies.
Max Baer Jr., there you go.
That's right.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you've just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
Elvis always played quarterback, throwing himself into the fray with genuine abandon, but taking the game too utterly seriously, diagramming elaborate plays for his team, following developments in the NFL religiously, and deeming football a gift from the gods.
Trouble.
Robbie, you got a request?
I do, and I think it's in the other packet. Elvis goes snake hunting.
Okay, you got it.
Snake hunting was the king of rock and roll.
You mentioned hallucinations already, and I think it's a pretty good one.
All right, hold on. Snake hunting.
Hey.
Got it. All right, this will be the last story, and then we'll get to the tapes.
Wow.
Elvis.
And snake hunting, Jack.
Goes snake hunting.
Holy fellas. And don't move me. Let's get real, real gone, Prince James.
Is he saying, let's get real, real gone, Prince
yeah.
James?
Yeah. The delusions got pretty bad. In 1976...
Oh, that's late Elvis.
Yeah. Jimmy Gamble, Patsy Presley's son, was playing guns with our kids. And he got up on the fence. Elvis happened to be looking out. He saw him and he thought Jimmy was somebody looking to assassinate him.
Yeah.
Elvis got a machine gun.
Oh, God.
And went outside and yelled, "Where's that son of a bitch? I'll kill him." And the kids broke running. They had to explain to Elvis that it was just Jimmy. And boy,
oh, God,
he pitched a fit.
Yeah.
Comes out with a machine gun. He said, "They don't need to be playing like that."
Right.
He was only about half out of it on medication. He didn't shoot the gun that time, but he did another time.
The machine gun.
7 or 8 in the morning, Al Strata saw this snake going up a tree at Graceland. He went in and started telling Elvis about it. Elvis was already taking his sleeping pills, but now he was ready to snake hunt.
Oh, yeah.
In a few minutes, somebody called me, told me he was out there. I went out, and he had his machine gun, and he was shooting.
Oh, God.
About half the time, he couldn't even see the snake. I never saw it myself. Anyway, he looked like some kind of drunk. He'd say, "There it is, I see it." And he'd rear back and let fire. And when he shoots, you go about 2 steps back and about 10 forward with the gun just waving.
There you go, man.
Finally, I got him to sit down on the curb. And when I did, well, he just knew he saw the snake again.
There it is, man.
He pulled out the gun and shot it. The old machine gun kicked so hard, the devil just went right on over in the drive.
As he's sitting down,
I said, "Elvis, we might want to go in. There's some people down at the gates." And he looked and he said, "Yeah, maybe I'll too." I staggered him in and got him into bed, and I said to Al, "Man, you're crazy. Never let him outside with a machine gun."
Rule number one.
The bullets had to be spraying all over the road.
Oh, my God.
That's the way he was shooting, straight towards the road.
Towards the road. That's where all his fans are.
Yeah. Let me see.
That's fantastic.
And then this goes back to something Rob was talking about earlier about Elvis's drugs and his attacks.
Yes.
One of the things that Billy set up with Dr. Nick were these packets of medication. In other words, they doled out Elvis's drugs to him in little envelopes at certain times of the day and the night.
The aforementioned attacks.
Half of the stuff was placebos. The Stanleys pretty much delivered it. Sometimes Delta May would deliver it. They got the packets from Tish. The Stanleys called them first attack, second attack, and third attack.
Attack.
They were proud of that. They thought that was hip.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis loved.
Wow.
His attacks.
His attack. You can call it medication. My attack.
Don and Mike, hello. Hi.
Yeah, you need to play the monkey.
You know what? This year, sadly, we're not going to have time for Scatter the Monkey.
Yeah, we've had Scatter the last two Elvis shows.
Just like Elvis himself. We've just kind of grow tired of the monkey and beat him alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
we'll bring him back.
Really, we're down to one more break.
The snake hunting we hadn't had in a while.
Yeah.
And I forgot how funny that was with him shooting at a snake with a machine gun.
Full of sleeping pills.
Those kids don't need to be playing like that.
Come on now. Is there a snake outside?
I see him. See that snake.
You want to hear about it? Real quick, and I mean, it's got to be quick.
Uh-huh.
Never maybe before heard of the show before.
This is new, I believe.
Elvis's ass and Elvis's boner.
Please.
Please.
Yeah, really.
For the role of Pacer Burton in the movie Flaming Star, Elvis had to learn how to act like an Indian. Oh, are you still on the phone?
Yep.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
He had only had a few weeks to research his role as a half-breed Indian before filming started in 1960. He hired a professional horseman to teach him to ride and handle a horse and jump on and off without falling down. Elvis practiced for 3 hours every day until he felt confident enough to ride in front of the camera. He taught Elvis how to throw a knife and do fancy shooting with a handgun. By the time Elvis was done, he could twirl a gun in his hand. However, Elvis developed severe blisters and boils on his buttocks from all the bareback riding.
Wow.
He was treated by studio doctors and had to have a special ointment rubbed on his wound several times a day.
Poor Elvis, man.
Elvis was embarrassed to have his ass massaged, as he put it, and would not answer any questions about his tender anus. When the riding scenes were finally finished, he was greatly relieved. You can catch a few expressions of pain on Elvis's face throughout the movie, but he did a fantastic job like of portraying Pacer Burton.
I would like to see the movie just to see the expressions
knowing
of pain.
That, yeah.
Finally, Elvis was contracted by Hal Wallace to star in Blue Hawaii in 1961. As required with all of his films, Elvis had to pose for promotional stills. He wore white pants and a colorful Hawaiian print shirt and used a ukulele as a prop. Moments before he was to sit for the photographer, Elvis was fooling around with his co-star, Joan Blackman. When it came time for him to sit on a ledge overlooking a Hawaiian town, Elvis was around.
Wow.
Several photos were taken of Elvis and his
state of arousal?
Yes, his manhood.
Hmm.
When the proofs came back, the studio art directors were shocked. Elvis was mortified.
Right.
Kurtle demanded that the photos not be released. A solution was found. The studio art department airbrushed the raised crotch to blend with Elvis's pants. A little paint here and a little paint there.
There you go, Jack.
Made Elvis's boner go away.
Elvis was very active. Didn't take a lot to get him going.
Easily aroused.
Look at all the babies we've killed.
What can I say?
Thank you very much.
Look at all the babies we've killed.
Holy fellas. And don't move. Let's get real, real going.
All right, well, the Elvis show is not over yet.
Yeah.
Not at all. We always save one tape to the very end.
Fantastic.
And this year, you're going to get the entire Megillah, which means, Rob, both of them together?
Yeah, the maternity suit and the drug monologue.
How long are we looking at? How long is the whole baby?
3 and 2. Over 5 minutes.
Over 5 minutes.
A pure, drugged out Elvis rave out.
The greatest Elvis tape on the face of the earth, bar none.
Would you have liked to be in that audience?
It is the Elvis watershed moment. I don't want to oversell this too much.
Right.
But let me say, if you only listen 5 minutes of this show today,
right,
make sure it's the 5 minutes after these commercials.
It's the Elvis we love.
It will fascinate you.
Holy fella. And don't move. Let's get real, real going.
Because it will fascinate you.
It will fascinate you.
Right. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nobody in Elvis's life ever say, "Hey, whoa, this is right."
Oh, yeah, that were the three that did all the time.
But you had to do it in a certain way.
One night we'd gotten a horrible argument. He looked at me and he said, "You know, I'm getting ready to win this argument." And I said, "Look, you're wrong, and you know it." Well, he whipped out a .44 short barrel Magnum and put it this. It must have been 2 inches from my nose, and I could look right inside the weapon, and I watched that cylinder turn with the .44 shell come up right to the barrel. And I promise you, I didn't know whether to call for break when. I had no idea what to do. And I just for one flash of a second. I mm-hmm. said, this is the end. I said, I don't, you know.
He's going to kill me.
Yeah, well, I said, will he do it? And I just got real still, and he put the hammer back. He said, now, who won the argument? I said, you have definitely won it.
Let's start laughing.
B.O.V.
take six.
One, two, three, four. Dating is a game that grown-ups play. Dating means acting in a silly way. Dating makes a gal start wiggle walking. This is like a baby. This is like a guy. Like a wino, man.
I miss it this time. We'll call a break. Call the group.
B.O.B. takes up.
One, two, three, four.
Lunch, 1 hour.
Yo. B.O.B. takes eight.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play.
B.O.V. taking 11.
Bowl.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play. Dating means acting in a silly way. Dating makes a gal start wiggle-walking. Dating makes a gal start wiggle-walking.
The Don and Mike Show.
Holy fellas, I don't move. Let's get real, real going.
Rich with the good taste of cancer. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, it's Elvis' death day. You gotta love the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you really hear these tapes.
You gotta love the guy.
Have to.
Robbie, I need the timpani now, though. Because this is the pièce de resistance.
The big one.
Elvis on stage.
This is... I mean, I don't know how many times it's been bootlegged to other radio stations, but...
This is Elvis.
It was here first.
Right.
And Elvis at his most drugged up.
Elvis at his absolute most full of himself, too.
And absolutely incoherent.
And out of control.
April 1974... The last show of a Vegas run.
Right.
So as much as he liked to party anyway, he's really partying here.
Right.
We now say, Happy Death Day, Elvis.
Oh, have mercy. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to meet one of the fellows who promoted me. The 8th degree black. His name is Ed Parker. He has about 18 temple schools around the country. Ed Parker. There's another fellow in the audience. Say the book. It's a friend of mine. His name is John Grady. He's written a book. He was head of the narco squad in Los Angeles.
Where?
For 26 years. And on the 166th page,
uh-huh.
He had about three pages about me and my ex-wife, or so.
Yeah.
About our friendship and about that maternity suit.
Maternity suit.
Sounded like a complete conspiracy and a hoax, man. And I just, no way. I had a picture made with that chick, and that's all. I mean, she got pregnant with a camera, a Polaroid, or something. Anyway, it's all in this book. It's the most... been watching Polaroid cameras, brother.
So effed up.
But you know what she did?
What? She named the night?
She goofed up.
Oh. She named the night?
She named the night.
Uh-huh.
And the night that she named, my wife was in... No, my wife was with me in the audience.
What?
And that's the night she said, ain't no way I'm going to fool around with her out there. You kidding me?
You kidding me, Jack?
So anyway, let me tell you something.
What?
If you like things like the French Connection, mm-hmm. the Chinese Connection, the British Connection,
The knee connection to the jump bone, hump bone nectar, hump bone, hing bone nectar. If you like that type of stuff,
banjo player.
Buy this book. It's called O'Grady. It'll be in print when, John?
I bet it'll fascinate you.
September 27th.
Does it?
It will fascinate you. It's about 26 years of a hardline policeman working in the narco squad out of Hollywood.
Narco.
Hollywood.
So you can imagine what it's like. Buy this book. It's called O'Grady.
But others, don't you take drugs?
John just came back from New York. We had a meeting of this. I have been a member of this organization for 5 years. International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association. In recognition of the outstanding loyalty and contribution to the support of narcotic law enforcement, this award of special honors bestowed upon the Elvis Presley testimony, so-and-so, lifetime member, International Narcotics Enforcement Officers Association.
How great is that? The best. The way it goes on.
Well, I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines.
Why?
They don't read them because they're all junk.
Oh, okay.
And,
Right on, Elvis.
I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make it up.
In your case?
Well, yes. I hear rumors flying around. I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out. Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life.
What about music?
Music.
Music, right.
When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sicker that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin.
Hotel.
I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Bellboys. Freaks that carry your luggage up to the room. People working around, you know, talking. Maids. But I was sick. I had a doctor, had the flu, and I get over one day and was like, but all across this town, strung out. So I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
Yay!
All right, Elvis.
That's our man, Elvis.
That is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous.
That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter, to my father, to my friends, my doctor, to everybody in my relationship with you, my relationship with the Pilgrim State. It is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots. Thank you very much.
Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress. He'd been hospitalized several times in recent years for rest and for eye problems. His musical style and his showmanship kept teenage girls sighing and swooning in the late 1950s.
Elvis Presley died today. He was 42. Apparently, it was a heart attack. He was found at his home in Memphis, not breathing. His road manager tried to revive him. He failed. A hospital tried to revive him. It failed. His doctor pronounced him dead at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The end at an early age of one of the two most spectacular careers in the history of American entertainment, the other being Frank Sinatra's.
Holy fellas, I don't move. Let's get real, real going for a change.
Price, service, and selection.
There you go, Elvis. Is
Elvis
still
show.
Dead.
Yeah.
Elvis is still dead.
Wow.
And,
great show.
If not for Buzz, this pesky news, which every day keeps coming into our lives.
You don't want to get sodomized again.
We could have had more time for Scatter the Monkey and
Scatter.
Some of the other great stuff. We could do it next year.
Yeah.
I promise. And don't forget, we always do an abbreviated Elvis birthday show in January.
I invite all you Toothless fans to join us on January 8th of next year.
There you go.
You got it.
And Hamburger James
Elvis
at Christmas.
68.
Hamburger James at Christmas.
Right. 68,
and,
Jack.
We just say, without giving anything away, the Elvis magic will continue tomorrow in the first segment of the show.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, stay tuned.
Excellent. Very good.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Garibotin.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
And Buzz, what is the lead made-up story today?
Today, another kidnapped child goes home safely.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned
for news and comments,
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Mike, that was very
professional, Jack.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike, anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, Jack.
When no one else.
This is probably the greatest honor that I've ever had in my life.
They'll make your crotch drool. Don and Mike.
All right, we're out of here today. Like Esther, a goose.
All right.
To get on the non-assault train to Philadelphia.
For our four-hour journey up to the city of Philadelphia.
Be a WYSP tomorrow, doing a live show for you. There we get a Friday get-together. Then tomorrow night, also do the Las Vegas-style show at the listener's home.
Amen.
We are bringing tape recorders.
Yes, it should be very exciting.
We will have some audio evidence for you on Monday's episode.
Excellent.
Then let me see. Tomorrow night, the Las Vegas-style show. Saturday night, 6 o'clock on WYSP. I'll be hosting your pregame for the Eagles and the New England Patriots. And after that, Mike and I will be at the Tweeter Center on stage and backstage with Sam Hagar.
Lots of good stuff planned.
Wow. That is the entire Philadelphia weekend.
Very good.
Christ.
Yeah.
Going to be all over the place.
We're going to be tired on Sunday.
We sure are.
Very much so.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. I just want to thank you guys for the Elvis show today.
Oh, listen, we love it. It's our favorite show of the year to do.
Well, I'm in Bakersfield, so we don't get to hear it right away exactly, but I know it's going to be a dandy treat.
That's a good one.
You all.
Today's a real good one.
Enjoy.
All right, my friend. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What is that, a Bakersfield dance? Bakersfield, Rob, is
Bakersfield, Rob, is
nowhere near
south.
Nowhere near Sacramento.
You count it. I can't join
Sacramento
you
Sacramento than
that.
It is to D.C.
Nowhere near. Nowhere near.
A scaled down dance.
I'm looking at this thing and I'm trying to figure out for this Eagles thing on Sunday.
Yeah. It's weighing,
Saturday.
It's weighing
Saturday.
On your mind a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I got all these. How am I going to fill all this?
I was talking to you during the break there, and you're
just,
saying, you know.
I'll wing it.
No.
I'll wing
we
it.
We got all those Elvis tapes. You want me to pack some up for you?
I'll wing it.
You want me to call and pretend I'm Andy Reid?
No. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Hello, friends.
Hello, dear friends. Hello, dear friends.
It's going to be a great game.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Hell, I did it for the Redskins for 5 years. I didn't know Dick when I did it then.
It was no problem.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And somebody said to me, well, you did it for the Redskins for 5 years.
Right.
Why are you now going to do it for the Eagles, for WYSP, at least a couple of times during the year?
Right.
And the answer is simply, they asked me.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
That's it.
And
that's it.
They pay me five times as much.
Oh, well.
And I found that out after they asked.
So there's that.
After they asked.
So we'll have lots of player interviews?
I don't think so.
You'll be talking to some of the preeminent sports broadcasters.
Don't think so.
You'll have a regular segment with, like, say, a sports columnist.
Don't think so. I think it's going to be me just pretty much giving you my thoughts on your 2002 Eagles.
Very good.
Excellent.
And also Mike Mamula, who used to be a player with the Eagles.
Mamula.
Wasn't he in the wrestling?
No.
WWF?
That's the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Fabulous Moolah.
And some guy named Dave Spiredo.
Oh, he's very good.
You don't know who he is?
Don't know
but
him.
You know all there is to know about the Eagles.
Sure. Well, what do you need to know? You got Donovan McNabb.
Deuce Staley. Right.
Dorsey Levens, James Thrash.
Dorsey Levens, a member of the Sea Dogs this year, so that bodes well for him.
The Michael Mara Sea Dogs. A fantasy league. It's up, incidentally.
Yes. You know, you could, if you do get pressed for time, you know, you're looking for things to fill, call me at the hotel, because what time does your show go on the air?
6.
No, I won't be up there.
Hello, Don and Mike. 6 p.m., Mike.
No, I mean, as I said before, I won't be up there. But I was saying, if you get pressed for time, call me and just I'll pretend to be whoever you want me to be. Say, we've got Who's the guy that writes that column in the back of Sports Illustrated? The funny guy.
Oh, Mike Riley?
Yeah, Mike Riley.
Is that his name?
No, no, it's
Rick Riley.
Right.
We met the guy one time, and he was a listener of our show.
Right. Just know that whoever you ask me to be, the voice that you will get for anybody that's related to football in any way will be the voice of Alan Goodman.
Let's try that out.
Right.
I'm on the phone now with Donovan McNabb.
Hello, D. How are you?
I like
it. I'm really very excited about the game. I think it's going to be an all right year for the Eagles. Go Eagles!
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Donnie, Mike, hey, Buzz.
Hi.
Hey, Don, watch yourself when you get next to Moore.
Why?
He's known to be a little butt pirate.
Oh, okay. Really? Was
hey, way to get it started on the right foot.
There's anything wrong with that.
I don't think he's a fag.
Just to let you know, yeah, he's a little, he's a little queer.
Just the fact that this now is coming out over our show, that could be, you know, could get back to him.
I mean, I thought he was a fag. Cordell Stewart's a fag. But
oh, no, yeah. What is with that thing growing out of his face? What is that?
You know what that is? That's face AIDS.
Hey, remember, gentlemen, not that there's anything wrong with it.
That's right.
Well, something wrong with face AIDS?
No, I'm talking about fags.
Oh, of course.
All right. Of course, Mike, get away from the microphone.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello, boys. How you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Great. It's nice to hear from you guys, man. I believe you guys are becoming quickly the new kings of Philly.
I think so.
And
we love Philadelphia.
Yeah, Don, they should team you up with Mel Reese, man, and actually do a play-by-play calling.
I'd love to. I've done that for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm. And it worked. That experiment worked great.
I think he would do very wonderfully with Mel Reese.
I drove our guys crazy.
And
the game I did in the booth with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you're talking about, you know, I think in the right environment, you would thrive.
Absolutely.
No, I like it.
And for your information, when you do the pregame show, it's Dave Spirato.
Dave Spirato.
Spirato. Yeah, so you don't look like a jackass up there.
All right, thank you, my friend.
And, hey, Mike.
Yo.
Ass play.
Here we go.
Ass play.
You're the man.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Where were we? Oh, Buzz.
Yes.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
The Texas woman accused of snatching a baby yesterday at a Walmart parking lot was in court today.
You know what? I'm sorry. This woman... Mike, hold on.
Here's Radio 156. Headline news.
You were saying?
I hate to interrupt right away. Take this woman out, throw her off a bridge.
Yeah.
F this fat pig that I saw on the news last night.
A lot of people feel this way.
She allegedly took the baby while the mother was stowing a shopping cart. Police say she wanted her chance, or she saw her chance and she took it. Her brother says the accused kidnapper has mental issues. The woman, Terry Roach, is a former...
No, he's not retarded.
She's a former prison guard. She was in court briefly today to be up for the baby.
Mike, you cannot drop the C-bomb like that.
Sorry,
I just said, what a see you in Toledo.
I just I couldn't help myself.
The heavyset woman told her family she'd given birth to the baby. That's
you know
where
what?
She
it
got
could
it.
Be worse. She could have eaten the baby.
Get in my belly.
That didn't happen.
Oh, year Texas style.
The FBI says there was no DNA on Chandra Levy's clothing, which means there won't be much forensic evidence to help solve the case. But D.C. Police Chief Charles Ramsey says he's still confident the case will be solved. He says it's against department policy to talk about the details of an ongoing investigation.
Let's go live now to
the
woman who actually hoaxed us for over a year.
Hello. Hello, Mike. I don't love the word hoax. Why do you have
In a bottom of a hole somewhere talking through a piece of PVC pipe.
That's right. I pretended for a long time that I was Chandra Levy. And you believe me.
You don't
pay attention. I just want to say, you guys are so, like, stupid. Like, you didn't even know who I was.
You got it.
Okay, I won, you lost. That's the way I look at it.
But you are still buried in a hole in the ground.
Like, how do you know? Do you have a camera here, or is this just radio? Like, what do you know?
What about Gary Condit?
He's such a dick.
Wow.
I don't like him. I wish he'd die. Then he wanted to run again. You know what I mean? He like wants to run again and like be a congressman and like continue to do the like government thing, like. What an ass. What a silly ass.
If that's not Chandra, I want to know who that woman is.
It's Don?
Yes.
I like love the Elvis show.
She has the radio.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Chandra Levy has been gone for over a year now.
Radio 156
from a whole
headline news.
Hello, Donna, my show.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I want to know what the hell a little gay is. That's like being a little pregnant, ain't it?
Well, no, honey, you could be bi.
That's like you having a little hair on your lip.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not Italian, so I don't have hair on my lip.
Oh, come on, now be honest.
I'm not. I'm English. I don't have hair on my lip.
Ah, then you got bad teeth.
No, I have all my teeth.
No, no, but you got bad teeth.
No, I have beautiful teeth.
There's no fluoride in the water in Britain.
Let's float this one out there. How about a little cottage cheese?
Ah.
Ah, bingo.
Tally-ho. What are you boiling for dinner?
Todd and Mike, hello.
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
Derek from Portland. I just wanted to let you guys know that you are awesome. You are freaking radio gods.
Thank you.
Ass play. And I will call you again as soon as I can get through.
All right, thank you. What is it, Portland, Oregon?
Yes, Portland, Oregon. I never hear anyone from Portland call, but...
Right, you're the listener.
Damn it, I love you guys.
You guys were
on here for a while, and then you were gone, and I was crying. It was just crushing.
This is embarrassing. We must be on the worst station in Portland.
We're not getting any. We're not getting arrested in Portland.
Well, here's the deal. I get the rating stuff,
right?
And what they do is for every market, the first thing I get is a layout of all the stations,
right?
Even the stations that get like a 0.1 share,
uh-huh.
0.1%. Our station in Portland doesn't even show up.
Oh, really?
The whole station doesn't show up.
Oh, that's not good.
It's disgusting. I'm spreading the word, guys. I'm working hard out here.
Good job.
Spread it.
I love you guys.
Well, what's the dial position? It's some crappy AM station, right?
Yeah, it is. It's 970 AM. It's a small channel.
970
AM. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
So, and I got real fake excited when I was they emailed me the stuff for Portland because I know our station is KUFO.
Right.
So I look at it and goes, like, they got the first rated station, second, third rated KUFO. I'm like, whoa.
There we go.
God damn, this must be the Kings of Seattle.
And then you saw the FM?
KUFO FM.
Right.
This station plays music. Oh.
Damn it.
Right.
Damn it.
Bye.
Damn it, honey.
See you later.
See you later. There he is, our one listener in Portland.
Very nice boy.
One listener. Buzz.
Yes. Now, you know, I don't want to alarm anybody.
Oh, here you go.
But
oh, dear.
The airbag in your car.
Fear monger.
Hey, it might be fake. We're talking about previously owned cars, but the airbag makers say thousands of cars either have fake airbags or bags that just don't work. They've found over 100 of them so far in the U.S.
Really?
The makers say disreputable repair facilities stuck to... That's right, scream. Because the airbag cavity is filled, in some cases, with garbage, like rags and paper.
Or they just don't deploy?
Right.
I don't believe that.
Look at my scar on his gauge.
My gauge is telling me mine didn't deploy.
Or sometimes mine is filled with nails.
Sometimes they use remanufactured airbags slapped together with parts from various cars.
Mine is full of breast milk.
They say you should examine your airbag cover.
Recently lactating new mom.
I can't talk about what's in mine.
Mine is actually filled with those fake snakes. Those paper snakes.
Snakes. They funniest driver in town.
Oh, like when you open up the can of nuts.
Like right.
Yeah. And then on the passenger side, a carnation comes out and squirts water.
You're like a clown man.
And mine, that's oregano. They say you should examine your airbag cover to make sure the color matches your car's interior and that the logo looks proper.
Hold on. We got another listener in Portland.
Ah,
amazing. Two. Dave?
Hey, Don.
Hi. Yeah, Dave, officially, your name is no longer Dave. You are now, it's like on Star Trek, number two.
Number two.
Wonderful. I just want to let you know I've been listening to you guys since you were on 1010 here every day, and there is at least two people.
Well,
and I tell people about you every day.
Thank you, Dave. Two people. We just had another guy call. Thank you.
There's the prize.
Right, take care.
Bye-bye. And he's on Star Trek. Riker's number one.
Number one.
Number two is Dr. Evil's guy.
Austin
number two.
Powers.
Exactly.
Number two.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, of course, also means BM.
Mm-hmm.
And number three means, you know, love juice.
Yeah.
That comes out of your fangs.
Look at the babies we've killed.
Look at all the babies we killed.
Pentagon employees returning today to the rebuilt offices in the part of the building damaged on 9/11. Nearly two dozen workers were back at their desks where there was rubble after a hijacked plane crash into the building.
Hold on now. See, we played the scream.
Yeah, no,
we played the scream. You got to slow down. We played the scream about the babies that, you know.
Right.
Look at all the babies we killed. But you were, you know, just barreling right through to 9/11.
Yes.
So let me just separate the 9/11 story from the scream.
Some kind of separator or stinger.
And you're talking about the Pentagon being rebuilt, and I want to say it again. Those guys that were down there that did the construction down there.
Kicked ass.
Yeah. They sure did. Amen.
Pentagon employees returned today to the rebuilt offices in the part of that building damaged on 9/11. Nearly two dozen workers were back at their desks where there was rubble after a hijacked plane crashed into the building. One man says his office looks the same as it did before the attack, but he knows
not that
it
rubble.
No, not that kind of rubble.
No, not that rubble.
Rubble.
Betty and Barty, they're the friends of Fred and Wilma. Fuzzy and your pot now. Hold on just a second, we'll be right back. Commercials, they fuel the show. Hey, Mike.
Yes, Don?
Three listeners in Portland. Hi, Dave.
In a row.
Hi, Dave. How come we have no numbers? How do you got no ratings? We got no numbers in Portland.
You didn't say gay old time.
Dave.
Yes, Don.
Hi.
Hi. Just want to let you know it's spreading like wildfire. You're up to three now in Portland.
Three. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That sucks real bad, monkey ass.
Three listeners.
We might as well sign off. Listen, forget it. We got a break. We are running so late that we're not going to have any time to go. Not going to have any time to go to Philadelphia. The Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. Going to Philadelphia. A Hanna-Barbera production. Game
old time. Nice. Wilma. Hey, Wilma. Wilma, you bitch, open this door. A buzz.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Dear Interrupts, it's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Until God needs a disc jockey, they will be here for ye. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And round one of the PGA Championship was suspended this morning because of lightning. And finally, by now you'd think 80s pop star Adam Ant would be used to people making fun of his clothes, but that's what witnesses say set him off at a pub in North London back in January. This week, the 47-year-old Stuart Goddard pleaded guilty to brawling charges. Witnesses say he threatened other customers with a starting pistol after they laughed at his clothing.
I think we learned from Sammy Hagar, you get in trouble when you make fun of rock stars' clothes, and that's what David Lee Roth got upset about.
Bag. Adam Ant was wearing a cowboy ensemble on the night of the brawl, which prompted other customers to laugh and hum the theme from the Western movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Woo-hoo.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Why, that's the same outfit you have on today, Buzz.
Yeah, it is.
Then we gotta go.
9:15.
We're off to Philadelphia. We will be for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
Or at least for the weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk to you tomorrow from WYSB.
Yeah, no Spectre Vision.
And good day to you, sir.
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 That's your one thought.
Yeah.
Buy a DVD, my friend.
Nine. Come on. 9 bits.
Hey, Rob.
Baby.
Can you?
Oh, you know what? Today I will for the king.
Okay.
Toodaloo.
Ass.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.